Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Jeremy Scott Fitness Podcast Radio Show. Coming to you on this Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. Hopefully it finds you staying safe and staying sweaty all at the same time. On today's episode, we are rapping about debunking fitness myths, or debunking essentially the top 10 kind of workout myths here across the board. Playing off a great piece from my friends over at the Mayo Clinic. I believe David Webster put this out originally sometime in probably 2020. I'm going to kind of play off these, what I've seen in this space, things I've heard from clients and athletes both in person and online over the past 20 years, and hopefully just point you guys in the right direction. Maybe some stuff that you already know or some things that you believe are like half truths. Maybe they're whole truths, and we can just kind of erase any of the doubt in your mind. So hopefully help you kind of streamline your fitness program, your eating, your sleeping, and everything on your fitness journey to make life a little bit easier. Because obviously now in the world of social media and technology, there's so much stuff that is out there. It's really hard to kind of navigate through the bullshit and see what is real and what is not. And that is essentially the meat and potatoes of today's episode. A couple quick housekeeping things. One, again, 30 for 30 challenge. They're in week number 3 inside the Jeremy Scott Fitness app. If you guys want access to all my weekly workouts, the challenge is full detailed programs ranging from 4 weeks in length all the way to, I believe, 10 weeks is the longest one currently. There's 1,000 other videos inside of there on top of the programs. Full mobility flows, upper body, lower body splits, hotel workouts. We got a ton of awesome stuff coming from BJ Kadur as well inside of the app, which is super cool. Our rebuilt program is coming down the pipe here. That thing is almost done. A lot of cool stuff. So again, if you want to try a week for free, jeremyscottfitness.app. You guys can check the link in the show notes, get a week for free. Stand for a couple of pennies a day. A couple of premium programs inside of there if you guys really want to level up and go deeper. But I answer every question inside, and we help guide you guys on your fitness journey so you never end up being at home or going to the gym and are unsure of what to do. There's always a playbook to kind of open up and follow along. Which brings me to our mastermind group. In the entrepreneurial world, obviously, of what we do, and a lot of you guys in your career and even on your, you know, entrepreneurial journey, there really is no guidebook. You know, there's, you know, if you're in corporate America, it's like, hey, do this, get a promotion, follow these steps. But there's no right or wrong answer. And that's probably the toughest part about picking a career, being an entrepreneur, running a business, being inside an organization, just not knowing a path. And we put together this mastermind group for that, to help people just streamline their success and streamline how to make money, how to build an ideal life, and just how to really kind of navigate this wild world that we're all kind of living through, especially with technology and AI and how things are moving so quickly and so fast, and how the traditional careers are no longer the only path that you can take. Like back in the day, be like, hey, go to school, get a loan, get a job, work here, retire. And it worked for certain people in a certain era, but things have changed definitely. So if you're somebody kind of struggling in between and is not sure what to do, the link's in our show notes here. Dave DiLorenzo and myself have put together this Built Different Mastermind group to help people make more money, create more free time, and actually do things that they love to do and enjoy to do, and really streamline their success and create, you know, a business and not just have a job where they're just having to trade time for money 24/7, 365. So if you're interested, link is in the show notes, jeremyscottfitness.com/built-different-mastermind. Any questions about it, please reach out. We're happy to answer. And then you guys already know, this episode is brought to you with my homies at AG1. The one thing I take every single day and I never miss. Drinkag1.com/jeremyscott. If you guys want to check it out, it'll get you a year's supply of free vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with order 1. This simple, I guess if you want to call it like a foundational nutritional supplement, help me get rid of 15 different pills. I can travel with it. It's the best tasting, in my opinion. It replaced my multivitamin, but it's way more than that. Prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes for gut support, magnesium, there's B vitamins packed in there, adaptogens, vitamin C, you name it, the things that help your gut, help your immune system. If you're somebody who does not eat enough fruits and vegetables, which is basically most humans, This is a nice way to cover the gaps in your nutrition. You still have to eat real food, but this is a nice way to make sure you're at least getting the vitamins and minerals you need to be healthy every single day, and then everything else you eat on top of it is a bonus. So reach out to me if you want a free sample. Not going to cost you anything. We'll ship right to your front door. You can try it. If you like it, then you can get hooked up with all the free stuff from there. But I would urge everybody who's listening, if you've never tried it, you've heard about it, you're thinking about it, you're drinking something else right now and it kind of tastes like shit, this is going to be the solution for you guys, and I'm happy to get a free sample in your hands, no cost to you. So reach out, hit us up. Monica will send you a free one ASAP. Otherwise, check the link in the show notes, drinkag1.com/JeremyScott, for all of the free bonuses today. And all the other sponsors in the show notes are friends at JLab Pro, where we get our protein, turmeric, collagen, krill oils, our friends at Sleeve Sold Separately, and Kettle and Fire. Check those out, and if you guys have questions, as always, ask. If you want to be on our newsletter, again, we send that bad boy out 3 times a week, every week. We've done that for the last 15 years, some weeks even more, with as much valuable information as we can to help you guys rock and roll. Now, real quick before I kick into the fitness myths. One, I am doing this podcast from home today, so I have a 14-year-old dog here staring at me, and then I got a puppy somewhere, hopefully asleep. But if you hear a little disturbance, don't be alarmed. It's just the nature of being at home because the gym is packed full of people right now, and it's just way easier to do it from here than trying to navigate through 50 people coming in and out trying to say hi. With that, just a quick post. I read the other day from the Good Quote. I wanted to share with you guys, just kind of touching on social media and screen time, and I'll tie this in a second, but the post was, social media gives us a perception of access of people's lives without relationships with them. So we think we know people based on what they choose to share, but it's a warped view. There are millions of layers to a person that will never be revealed by the post they make. And I'm living proof of this. I share with you guys, you know, what I want. I share with you things hopefully that help educate you and motivate you. Maybe sometimes you get a laugh from, put you in a better mood, but I don't share, you know, the worst of everything. I don't want to be a fucking Debbie Downer. And on top of that, like, you got your own problems to deal with. You don't need to be chewing on my shit. And it's the old Lou Holt saying, you know, when it's about complaining about your problems. I'm not saying you have to adopt this, but this is what I do. It's his saying is, you know, 80% of people don't care, and the other 20% are glad that they're your problems and not theirs. And that's kind of how I go about it. But I'm from that, you know, I guess my dad's era, that kind of old school. I don't want to say suffer in silence because I don't think that's healthy either. But I tend not to share a ton and overshare when I'm eating shit, because I just, if you can't help me, I don't feel like just, you know, word vomiting on people. And that's just kind of how I roll. It's probably one of the reasons why I don't complain about a lot of shit. If I can't fix it or control it or do something with it, it doesn't really do me any good to bitch and whine and complain about it. And that is just me. And that's not saying that's for everybody, but it's kind of what I adopted. And playing off the social media post about being reality, just in general, you know, I posted this on Instagram today, actually, depending on when you guys actually listen to this. But my health tip was just stop staring at your screen all day. You know, pretend like it's 1998. Get outside. Talk to a real person. Go play. Interact. Do shit you love with people you enjoy, because your life's too short not to do that. And I shared the stats from Data Report that the average American spends 6 hours and 59 minutes looking at their screen every day. Essentially 7 hours between work and your phone and other things. And it's honestly probably even greater than that for a majority of people, but there's just people who don't work on screen, so I think that actually drives the number down. And you guys all know this, you know, excessive screen time can lead to problems in your social, emotional development, sleep disturbances, depression, anxiety. It can impair emotional comprehension. It can promote aggressive behavior. It can hinder social and emotional competence. And I'm not against tech, and I'm not against phones or screens, but overall, we spend way too much time on that shit. I mean, it's wild how much time we are glued to these devices, and it is not healthy. And so, you know, take from this comment what you want and leave the rest. But if you find yourself getting sucked into the, you know, Instagram reel, endless scroll of bullshit or the YouTube vortex, just start putting some safeguards and some boundaries in place to make you feel better and get you out of that cycle. I just think if you're having a, you know, a low level of humming anxiety or feeling like shit because of it, I don't think it's worth it, man. It's just, do things that make you feel good. You know, life is going to, you know, kick you in the dick and punch you in the face enough. It's just, that's just how it goes. But do things to safeguard yourself from excess anxiety and stress, even the low-level stuff that you don't think bothers you. Because, again, over time, social media does change your behavior. It's not quick. It doesn't happen overnight, but slowly it does. And it's where you start to just, you look at the world through a distorted view. You start comparing yourself to everybody else's ideals and highlight reels. And then slowly over time, you feel like you're not enough because you're comparing to where you think you need to be or where you think they are, but not comparing to yourself and how far you've come. So my word of advice is just continue to stay intrinsically motivated. And if you're not, try to get there and don't put your self-worth and your life on external factors for value. Because you're always going to be empty. You're always going to come up short, and it's an endless game that you can't win. All you can do is look back at how far you've come, where you started. That's it. You know where you started from. If you started at home plate or you started on second base, and where you're at only really matters compared to how far you have come, not to anybody else. You know, I live in a place where I literally would drive to work today and I'll drive by houses that are $15 million, some of them $20 million. Now, if I compare my home to a $20 million house, it sucks. And I guess I'm a fucking loser. But that's not real. I don't know their story. I don't know where they came from or what they did to get there or be there. And I really don't care. All I know is where I came from and what I'm doing. I know, like, I grew up in a, you know, lower income, you know, family. We didn't have a ton of money for a long time. I grew up in a two-bedroom apartment and I slept on a bunk bed. On the top bunk. My sister slept on the bottom. You know, is that, you know, ideal? No, but I'm like, it was just fine. I made it here and I know where I'm at today versus where I came from. That's all I can compare to. What anybody else is doing, whether it's my neighbor across the street or two neighborhoods down, is irrelevant to me. All I can do is compare to myself and be motivated by the things that make me feel good, the things that I think are important and that bring me value and make a better life for my friends and my family. I don't do social media like a normal person, and I think you can use really good things from it and you can learn from it, but do not let it control your life. And if it's making you feel like shit, get off of it. That is my rant as we start here today. I know that's a little off topic, but it's important to me because I see a lot of people get sucked into it. And if you're spending 7 hours a day or 2 hours a day on Instagram and an hour a day on TikTok and an hour a day on Facebook, it is not good for your brain. It is not healthy for you. I promise you that. Now, before I jump right into the myths here, I wanted to share this story on Greek mythology I found over at the Pilgrim School website. I don't know how much of you guys follow the Greek mythology stuff. There's a lot of good stories in there if you really want to tie them to real life. Obviously, they're a little bit over the top, but there is really good life lessons you can take from it. Same thing like with the Bible, if you guys are religious or not. Like, even if the stories don't sound applicable today, if you can zoom out and take away some of the grandeur and the over-the-top, you know, I don't want to say fairy tale-like, but just larger-than-life stories, they're lessons that you can apply to your daily life, and you can take something from it, and this is no different. So if you're familiar in Greek mythology, Sisyphus was known for his punishment in the underworld. The story goes, like, he had this eternal task, and it was just to roll a boulder uphill all day, every day, only to watch it roll back right before it reached the top. That's what he would do every single day. So I'm not going to go into his entire backstory. There's a couple different routes you can go. If you guys want to, you know, Google this, you can read up about it. But essentially, Zeus was pissed at him for doing some bullshit. And his punishment was he has to roll this big-ass heavy boulder up a hill every single day, all day, only to watch it roll back down right before it reaches the top. And that kind of feudal repetitive labor has become a symbol of the somewhat absurd nature of what we go through as human beings at various points in our lives. And if you're struggling right now, this is a message for you. As many of us know, life has no rhyme or reason at times, and it can be quite a vicious thing. And bad things happen to good people. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. You've seen people around us experience. It makes no fucking sense. So I think we can all agree, at times there is really no rhyme or reason. We can try to draw meaning from it as best we can, but sometimes it just sucks, and it's hard, and it is not fun, and it's hard to see the good in the shitty times. And despite that kind of, you know, seamlessly hopeless nature of the predicament of Sisyphus, pushing a rock, giant boulder up a hill, having it always come back down, there's a valuable lesson to be learned there that can be applied to your mental health and your well-being. When you feel like life's challenges are getting on top of you, and you feel like you're Sisyphus always pushing a boulder uphill, but every time you think you're there, it just comes crushing right back down. And I think one of the key lessons is the importance of resilience and perseverance in the face of adversity. When Sisyphus was condemned to this eternity of, you know, just ceaseless bullshit, he continued to push the boulder uphill every single day, all day, in spite of it rolling just back down each and every time. It's this relentless determination, despite the futility of his efforts, that speak to the human capacity to endure and persist in the face of insurmountable challenges. When it seems like it's not possible, you just keep going. And in the context of mental health and well-being, if you want to look at it this way, Sisyphus can be seen as a symbol of resilience in the face of struggles such as depression, anxiety, and mental health issues. Just as Sisyphus labored tirelessly without the promise of reward, people who are grappling and dealing right now with mental challenges often are confronted with daily battles that may seem never-ending. And trust me, man, I've been in it with you guys. I think we all have at some point in time of life. And it's the perseverance, if you want to like visualize a story, that serves as a powerful reminder of the resilience that lies within each of us, even in the face of these monstrous, overwhelming obstacles. The story of Sisyphus, you know, prompts us to reflect on the meaning that we assign to our lives and the choices that we make in the middle of adversity. That's the takeaway. Just, if you're going through hell right now, keep going. And I've said this a bunch and I'll keep saying it, every bad day that you guys have had in your life, every single bad day that you've had, if you're listening to this, you made it through. Every shitty day, every awful moment, every time when you wanted to quit and give up, you put in the work and you made it to the next day and you're still here and you're still listening. And that's it. So if you're a visual person, you visualize this giant ass boulder you're pushing up a hill over and over and over, and even if it keeps falling down, trust me, you guys, one day you will get over the top. You will get that boulder over the hill and you will see the other side. That I can promise you. Everything in life is temporary, and so is this season you're going through. Take what you want, leave the rest from that. So, with that said, we'll finally get into these top 10 debunking fitness myths here. Now, nothing super crazy, nothing super complex. I'm going to just get right to them. I'm going to roll through them as quick as I can just to give you guys the nuts and bolts of it. But the first thing, myth number one, you got to do a ton of cardio and a ton of aerobic work for weight loss. That's the myth. The reality is, it's true. I think you should do aerobic work. I think there's stuff to be said to doing stuff in, you know, zone one, zone two, zone three. I'm all for that. And you should have an aerobic part of your training sessions that I don't know if they have to mainly focus on aerobic work, but the reality is, thinking cardio and thinking having your heart rate super high is the ultimate solution to getting lean just isn't true. The reality is you got to incorporate strength work into your schedule. I think if you can only spend time on one, spending time on the strength stuff and the mobility stuff is probably the best way to go. And if you can just walk outside of that, you'll be okay. You can be lean as hell with doing minimal, quote unquote, dedicated cardio work. And if you understand like how the body works and reacts, strength builds muscle. Okay, the more muscle you have on the body, the leaner you're going to be. That you need. The more muscle you have, the more calories you are going to burn at rest, and the more calories you're going to burn when you actually do aerobic work. So thinking you have to do a ton of aerobic work every week and go run to be lean is not true. I'm not a huge runner. I don't run much unless it's in our Metcons. It's just, it's not my thing. I don't want to run on concrete. I'm too old and I'm too heavy. If we do track work, I like sprinting and things like that. And I'm not against running. I think it's fine. But you thinking aerobic work is the only way to get lean just is not true. For most people, here's what I would do. Mobility every day. Strength work 4 times a week if you can. 3 times a week is probably fine for some of you guys. On top of that, walk. 7, 8, 9, 10,000 plus steps per day. If you want to put a ruck on, even better. Want to get even sexier? Do farmer's carries for your aerobic work. Push a sled for your aerobic work. You'll be just fine. But sticking to cardio just for weight loss is not needed or required. Myth number 2, heavy weights are going to bulk me up. You've heard it time and time again. I talked about this on here before. Some people, I'm not trying to call out females here, but I do hear it from a lot of females because we do have a big female population that comes to the gym. Over the years, not the ones we have now, all the females we have now are badasses, but over the years, they would say, well, Jeremy, I don't want to lift these heavier weights because I'm going to bulk up and look like a bodybuilder. And again, there's genetic outliers for sure, like Colleen Fosh, who I've had on the podcast multiple times. Colleen is jacked like a dude, and I say that in the most loving way possible. She's fucking strong. She's jacked, and she would smoke most dudes in most things. Does she lift heavy? Yeah, but she was going to be a gangster no matter what. She was a Division I swimmer. Strength training is just kind of her thing. She likes to lift heavy. She eats a certain way. She trains a certain way. That's it. I don't know any other women who are even remotely close to her. And I say that because there is genetic outliers, obviously. But for most women to bulk up, you'd have to eat a lot of food. You'd have to do a ton of strength training over a long, long period of time. And for most, you don't have on average as much testosterone as a man to get as big as like a man would do. Obviously, if you're talking about, you know, CrossFit athletes and competitive female bodybuilders who follow these strenuous diets and workout programs, and a lot of times even just illegal drugs and hormones, that's a different thing. But for most people, even men, if you're a dude and you lift heavy, you're not going to bulk up. Most dudes struggle to fill out like a medium-sized t-shirt. Or there's dudes who are obviously overweight, but a normal dude who is in shape, who's just lifting, probably weighs 100 and you know, he's 5'10", he's 6 foot tall, he's fit, he weighs 170, 175 pounds. That's it. Like, he's been lifting probably his whole life. He's not going to be 215 pounds, you know, at 37 years old, just naturally and ripped and shredded. It just doesn't happen. So you can strength train and you can lift heavy within reason to your body, but don't think you're going to bulk up naturally because of it. Again, even dudes who lift heavy don't naturally bulk up. There's a lot of things that go into play. So don't feel scared about pushing a heavy sled or, you know, squatting a heavy kettlebell or doing some heavy carries or presses. It's good for you. Number 3, I work out today so I can eat unhealthy tomorrow. The old, you can kind of, you know, work out enough to burn off the calories of the shit that you ate. And you can't. You can't outwork a poor diet. Your food is fuel for your mind and your body. Proper nutrition guarantees results in this game. It's really simple. If you want to be lean, you got to be in a calorie deficit. If you want to put on size, you got to be in a calorie surplus. If you're eating processed, highly processed garbage shit, you're probably going to feel bad. If you eat better, you'll feel better. If you eat worse, you probably feel worse. You can outwork a crappy diet for a small period of time, but not for a long period of time. You can do it for probably like a week. You know, you can work out 3-4 hours a day every day for 7 days and eat a bunch of shit and probably, lose weight and be a little bit leaner. But after about a week, you start to feel the effects. Your body will break down. It's not sustainable. The key is if you can delay gratification and just understand like what you're eating is not just about what you look like. It's about how you feel. You know, it's how your hair, skin, and nails grow. It's how everything regenerates. It's tied to your gut health. It's tied to brain function. It's tied to how you go to the bathroom. Everything is connected to the food you put in your body. And so if you're out there still doing that, like, hey, I'm going to, you know, work out for 3 hours so I can crush three donuts, I don't think that's the healthiest way to go about it. I don't think that's sustainable long term. Number four, stretching helps prevent injuries. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be surprised by this, and I grew up playing sports, and you did like your kind of team stretch before you played. And what we were doing back then doesn't hold a candle to the stuff we do now. And if you look at just static stretching before or after exercise, I haven't seen any data that proves it reduces the chance of getting injured by any measurable amount. Now, when I say stretching, it's a different thing from doing mobility, like actually moving the body through space. And I'm not against static stretching. It has its time and its place. But even that, I like to do a little juicing and throw some variations into there. I do think doing a dedicated mobility routine and movement prep is beneficial because it prepares the muscles for movement and eases your workout for recovery. But just that kind of static stretching is not going to reduce injury. Like kind of that old school, you'd like reach back and like grab your foot and pull your, you know, heel to your butt for like 2 seconds. And then you'd grab your elbow and pull it down. You do that for about, you know, 10 seconds. Like those, you know, 10, 20, 30 second stretches are not enough. I think you have to do mobility. You have to do movement prep. I think it's important to do tissue work, whether it's self-myo, you know, kind of fascial release. If it's getting actually tissue work done, if it's getting gua sha or Graston, I do think that's beneficial. At the end of the day, I would recommend people to use functional dynamic stretches, like your body weight, lateral kind of lunges as you hand crawl side to side. If you want to talk about shin boxes and pigeon stretches, if you want to talk about various hangs and scap retractions to help the muscle kind of get primed and prepared before the workout so you can actually get into your workouts, or actually building in the mobility routines to your workouts, like doing yoga push-ups before your bench presses, right? Like doing variations of squat to stand or body weight squats prior to actually doing your squat loading. I'm a huge fan of those things. So take that for what it is. Number five, if the number on the scale isn't going down, you are not making progress. Obviously, you guys know my take on the scale. Many people focus on the number on the scale, but it's just a number. It's not representative of how much your body changes, and it's not representative of how far you have come. The number on the scale is a factor of many things, such as how much water you drank, your hormones, what you ate, what time you were weighing in. And often when a person loses a significant amount of weight, the number on the scale at some point is probably going to stabilize or go back up, because if they're in that novice level, they might actually start building some muscle. And they're in a really good spot at that point. So if you're somebody who lives and dies by the scale, my advice is don't. It doesn't measure the progress that you've made, how strong you are, your aerobic capacity, how much more mobile you've become, the skills you've learned. If you want to really track, you know, your weight loss and fat loss and your muscular development, I recommend taking pictures. I recommend recording measurements of your arms and your legs and your waist and your thighs. If you want to do a DEXA scan or body fat calipers or how your clothes fit or how much energy you have, I think those are all better measures of just using the scale and getting on there, checking it each and every day. I think you can do it once a week. It's fine. I think it's more than enough. But again, nobody cares if you weigh 144 pounds, 152 pounds, or 137 pounds. All that matters is how you move, how you feel, how much self-confidence you have, and what other metrics you're tracking to make progress in and outside the gym. Because ultimately, the scale is really simple and it's really basic, and it's not the end all be all. Number six, the trackers that you use and the cardio machines are 100% accurate in the calories burned. This is not true. This goes for the rowers, the skis, the ergs, the assault bikes, your Apple Watches, your Fitbits. It's good to track. It's good to have a ballpark. But it's not set in stone. And I know a lot of people depend on, you know, the treadmill or the assault bike or the row or the ski or their Apple Watch to tell them exactly how many calories they burn during a workout. And unfortunately, this metric is not 100% accurate for each and every person, and it's not accurate all the time. There's been days where I've pushed a sled and it said I hardly move, and there's days where I basically walked around, did mobility, and said I was dying. You know, it's a good tool to have, but it's just a tool, and it is flawed and it is not perfect. There's so many factors that determine how many calories your body is going to burn, including your sex, your age, your current weight, your hormones. And the machines only allow you to enter so much personalized data, and they're going off of history and they're going off the metrics that they have. And so the factors that they can pull from you are rarely going to be enough to give you this, you know, 100% accurate measurement. And the same goes for your food when you're tracking food intake. I'm a fan of, you know, tracking macros and looking at the calories in, calories out, and all that stuff. However, some of these food labels can be off by as much as like 20%. So just know, even if you're tracking stuff and it's off by 20%, you can be up or down quite a bit relative to how you're tracking what you're putting in. So at the end of the day, you got to go by how you move and how you feel and ultimately, you know, how you look, and you got to gauge things from that. Which brings me to number 7. Sticking to sole ab workouts and core workouts is going to give you a six pack. You guys know this. It's as old as time, yet I still see people doing this shit. Probably not many of you here because you guys are educated and a lot of you have been listening to me for a long amount of time, but direct core work is great. Direct abdominal work is great for getting your trunk stronger, and there's a benefit to the body in a lot of ways. It's, you know, strength is never a weakness. Weakness is never a strength. So I don't think it's ever bad to have a strong, durable core. I think the trunk training can help you guys improve balance and stability. I think it's awesome. However, a person's overall body fat is really what prevents them from having abs or having their abs be seen. There's a genetic factor there. Some people at certain body fats, their abs show. Some people at other body fats, their abs don't show. Some people hold more fat below their belly button, above their belly button. Some people have a thicker midsection. Some people have genetically a thinner midsection. It's just a body fat game for the most part. And to have a six pack and to have, you know, abs, your body fat for a dude's probably got to be like somewhere in the 10% range just to start to see them. If you got really shredded abs, you're in the single digits more than likely. If you're a female, you got to be probably closer to like 13 or 14. Some women can probably get them around 15, 16, somewhere in there. I'm obviously just shooting ranges, but at the end of the day, what you see is conditioning. It's not just, now, again, you're building the musculature underneath. I think that's important too. So you do have to do the direct work and you have to build some of it in, but it's not going to give you a six pack. So while it's possible to really affect how your core feels and moves and functions, doing, you know, the ab wheel is not going to get you shredded. It requires a strict diet and an exercise routine and a sleep routine and having your hormones kind of be in check. And all those things are vitally important. And as you know, as you get older, skin elasticity, hormones, those things, fat stores, just father time starts to catch up with people. So you got to do more even as you get older to maintain the same level of conditioning you once had as a young man or woman. And trust me, it's a lot of work to do this each and every day. So you really got to love it, and it's got to be important to you, and it just kind of has to fit into your overall lifestyle, and it has to mean something to you intrinsically versus extrinsically. Number 8, supplements and protein shakes are necessary before and after workouts. I don't think that's true. Supplements and protein shakes are not necessary for a lot of people. There are certain supplements I think are beneficial. Obviously, you know, we talk about AG1 on here a lot. We talk about vitamin D3. I talk about turmeric and collagen and krill oils and these things, and I think they're all important, but they're not required. Obviously, real food is the key at the end of the day. You know, protein, produce, and water, wash, rinse, repeat. You know, if it runs, it swims, it flies, it grows from the earth, eat it. The more organic stuff you can get, the better. If you're getting enough through real food, you don't have to supplement. The problem is most of us don't. And then there's certain things that we just can't get. Like if you're not getting enough vitamin D from the sun, I think you should probably supplement it with like a D3 and a K2. But you do not have to drink protein shakes. And you do not have to crush a bunch of supplements before and after your workouts to be healthy. It's just not a thing. People are going to sell you products to convince you you need to have them before and after your workout. If you don't do this, you'll wither away or you won't lose fat. And it's all bullshit. The truth is you don't need expensive ass protein shakes and things to get proper nutrition if you can get them directly from food. If you can't, that is where you supplement. It's a supplement to what you're doing. It's not spend $1,000 on supplements and $50 on real food. It's actually the opposite. Spend your money on real food. You know, spend what you can on your supplements to cover the gaps in your nutrition. If you consume, you know, protein-rich foods before your workout or after your workout, I don't think you need a protein shake. Your muscles are going to absorb that energy, you know, and they're going to put you on the path to be successful. If you can eat 10 to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, you probably don't need to take an AG1, but I'm not going to do that. So that's why I do that, to cover the gaps in what I'm doing so I can be as healthy as possible and give my body all the vitamins and minerals it needs to be the strongest, to move its best, to look its best each and every day. So is it required? No. To help be optimal for people, I do think there's things that are important like creatines and those things, if you want to get into that. But again, not required. It's a want versus a need, if you will. Number nine, if I'm not working up a sweat and just completely drenched, I'm not working hard enough. This is not true. Some of the days I have the hardest workouts, I actually sweat the least. Sweating to me is not a real accurate way to measure how hard you worked. If you want to be in Arizona in August and do a bullshit workout outside, you'll be dripping sweat. You'll be wearing a soaked diaper. It doesn't mean you worked out super hard. It means it was hot as shit outside and your body's trying to keep you cool. Sweating, I don't think, should be a gauge of how hard you worked during a workout. There's a lot of factors that go into how much a person sweats. Like I mentioned, temperature, humidity, hydration levels. Your body could also just be efficient at cooling itself off, or you're taking bigger gaps in your rest periods and you're in a cool room and it's climate control. There's a lot of things that go into play. So don't feel like if I'm not dripping sweat, I didn't work hard. It's just not true. Or if my heart rate isn't 170 the entire workout, I didn't work hard. That's just not true. You know, a lot of times if I do split squats, my heart rate will get high for like, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, but then it comes right back down. If I send the assault bike, you know, and just ride it at a moderate pace for 20 minutes, my heart rate's going to be a lot higher. I'm going to sweat a lot more, but I don't necessarily think like just riding an assault bike is a better workout than me doing split squats and pushing a sled and doing pull-ups and overhead presses and those types of things. Even though I'm sweating more in one workout, I'm getting so much more out of the other workout. That's why sweat is not an indicator of being successful or necessarily working hard or having a great workout. Which brings me to the last one, number 10, the no pain, no gain shit. You're going to feel uncomfortable during a workout at times. That's normal. Some days you're going to push yourself. Some days you're going to do shit you don't want to do and that you don't like, and that is not relaxing, if you will. But feeling pain is not good, and feeling pain is not required. And being constantly sore and tight and feeling like you got hit by a Mack truck is not good. It's not necessary. That no pain, no gain shit, it's ridiculous. I know a lot of athletes, and I did this for a long time, the no pain, no gain model. And it's okay to have a certain level of discomfort. And you're going to have some pain in your body. Like, I think to think like you're never going to have pain or have a tight shoulder or hip or ankle, that's ridiculous. Pain is a natural part of life. It's a natural function. It's telling the body something, and I think that's good. But if you're always in pain and you're always hurt and you're chronically sore and you're chronically fatigued and you always feel like you're dragging ass, your body's telling you something's wrong. If you start to feel pain, like legit pain during a workout, stop immediately what you're doing. If you continue to push through it, you're probably going to end up with serious injury or a chronic injury that's not going to go away. Things that used to go away for you when you were 25 years old don't go away when you're 35 years old. At 45 and 55 and 65, they stay with you. So you got to be smart. Talking from personal experience, I've said this on here before many times. There was probably a 10-year span where I went and trained consistently every day, just being sore and tight and just pushed through it mentally like a dumbass. And you pay the price for it at some point. And I would just tell you, don't let your fitness steal your fitness. Don't let your toughness today steal from you tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. You know, listen to your body. Push yourself. Obviously, be uncomfortable. Go outside your comfort zone. Visit your pain cave once in a while. But don't chronically think you have to beat the shit out of yourself each and every day inside the gym, because then you just die inside there. You want to take those skills you acquired inside the gym, outside the gym, on a hike, with your kids, when you walk your dog, when you do yard work, when you help friends do things. Like, that's what you want to do. You want to take those skills and be able to use them. You're training to go play sport. You're training to go live life. You're training so you have this ability to do things, not so you are so sore you can't hardly move. And every time you sit in the toilet, it feels like, you know, your world's going to crumble because your butt is so tight. You know what I'm saying? Like that when you have that ridiculous tightness. And then it turns into like, oh, my elbow really hurts. Now I can't do this, or my wrists, or my whatever it may be. So if you start to feel pain, you guys, stop immediately. Slow down. Change gears. Live the train another day. Because if you continue to push through it, typically bad shit happens. And nobody wants that. And nobody wants to be injured and be out of the gym. We want to be able to do the fun things that we want to do. So strength training and, you know, aerobic work and yoga and Zumba and all the things you do, whatever you're into, pickleball, they should add to your life, not take away from your life. So we're trying to be as healthy and as fit as possible. So again, those are just 10 basic ones. A lot of those things you guys know, but maybe if I said something in a little different way, it sparked something inside of you to be like, you know what? I actually don't need to do that. I can do something a little bit smarter and a little bit different. And I used to believe this, and now I don't believe that. And now I can approach my fitness and my training and my nutrition and my recovery a little bit different to get the most out of my results. Because the last thing you want to do is spend all this time in the gym and all this time on your nutrition and all this time on your training and not elicit the best results and the most results possible because there was things that you were believing that actually weren't true that were holding you back from reaching your full potential. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that quick debunking of the 10 workout myths. If you have any questions for me on anything, our mastermind coaching group, the Jeremy Scott Fitness app, if it's any of the supplements and the sponsors and the products and programs we work with, please reach out and ask. I'm always happy to answer. On top of that, we've had a lot of people visit Scottsdale lately. A whole family of people came on Saturday, a couple other people from the military. I had a guy stop me actually even on Monday. I was coming back into the gym just to stop and say hi and that he appreciated the podcast and all the things we've done. And so I do appreciate when you guys do that. I'm always humbled and it's crazy to me that people actually listen to the things that we say here and read the things that we put out and do the workouts and things that we create. It is humbling and it means a lot. And it's the oxygen that kind of keeps this train going, because if you guys never, you know, commented and shared things or stopped by and sent the messages, I don't know why the hell we would keep doing this, because it's just me talking into the ether or just interviewing people, which I enjoy speaking with, but we wouldn't actually record it, produce it, put it on air, and then pump it out here. So I thank you guys for that. It means a lot. I'm a normal dude just like the rest of you guys trying to figure out this crazy wild world that we're living in, and I'm doing the best I can with what I have, and I have, you know, real good days, and I have okay days, and I have shit days, and I'm, you know, I got all the same, you know, concerns and worries you do, and all the same, you know, even if our issues are different with friends and family and our personal lives, they're all the same. You know, as much as we are all uniquely different, we are all very, very similar at the end of the day. We all experience the same needs and wants and feelings, and we all fight the same, you know, battles, even though they're different, they're all very, very closely connected. So I'm happy to be a part of your guys' circle. I appreciate you. If you happen to be on Spotify, drop it a 5-star, leave a comment. I would love it. If you're on Apple Podcasts, drop it a 5-star, leave a comment. I'd appreciate that too. And if you think this message can help any friends or family, please send it their way. If you're a fitness professional and you want to share it with your athletes and your clients, throw it out there. I'm happy to help you in your biz and your life any way I can. So I thank you guys as always. I'll probably pop back on sometime next week. My schedule's been real funky the last couple weeks. Hopefully I get back to some normalcy here sometime in mid-April or May, but I'm doing the best I can with all the projects and things I got going on. And again, if you guys are on the app, there's a bunch of awesome stuff coming your way, so be on the lookout for that. You guys have an amazing rest of your Wednesday, and until next time, eat well, train hard, be nice to people, and please, you guys, keep doing shit you love with people you enjoy, because your life is too short not to. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.